shabbat. La sodet ha shabbat le doro tamburit olam. B'nei 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 Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hili olam v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamburit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, asah Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamburit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nefash, shabbat v'nefash, shabbat v'nefash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamburit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her, and for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem.
You know, there was such an attack last night and today. That's going to be a great day today. We're going to have an awesome service. I believe God has an awesome word for you. I know Anthony probably has an awesome word. We prayed for him this week. And God's given me a message on being grafted in today and about all those Gentiles who are at Pentecost. And we're going to talk about that today. So call your friends up. Invite them to listen to the message or worship. And join the service. Come on down and be with us. God bless you. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going to start by singing. Shalu shalom Yerushalayim. Shalu shalom Yerushalayim. Shalu shalom Yerushalayim. Shalu shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Lord, bring peace to Israel swiftly in our day, and bring the Messiah. Lord, open the eyes of your people Israel, from the bottom to the top, from the street sweepers and the taxi drivers to the generals and the Air Force and the Army and the IDF and the Knesset members and the power brokers, the high-tech executives and their staffs and all the grocers and teachers in Israel, and especially the Orthodox, Lord. They're the ones I have the most trouble with in the airports. Don't know how to reach them. They're not very friendly to talk to sometimes. They don't want to talk to people that aren't like them. And as one group of people I struggle with, so help me to reach them and talk to them, Lord. I need that help in the name of Yeshua. And I help our people, Lord. Give them divine appointments. Share the Messiah with people. Give each one here and those who aren't with us divine appointments to share the gospel. Let it just flow forth from them. Help them to learn that proposal statement. And if you'd like a half-page instruction sheet on how to share the gospel with your friends, just contact our ministry and we'll send it to you for free. If you'd like, it's a one paragraph that you need to memorize. It'll help you just share the gospel within 2 minutes or less, and you won't get caught up in a two-hour conversation that you don't need. You just want to share the gospel and move on. And if you'd like that, just contact our ministry and I'll send that to you. But for the folks here, I pray for all of you that you have divine appointments, that you pray for divine appointments. Just ask God, when you wake up in the morning, add it to your prayers as you put your armor on. God, give me divine appointments to share the gospel. And even if the very minimum, if you can't remember that one paragraph I gave you, just remember this. Yeshua is the Son of God, or Jesus, because they all don't know who Yeshua is. Hey, Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead on the third day, and I believe it. What do you think about that? That's all you got to do. Just ask somebody. Tell them, I believe that. Do you believe that? And you've shared the gospel. That's all you got to do. Share the gospel. That's all God requires of you, is share the gospel. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So we just pray, Lord, we pray for the rabbis today. We pray, Lord, for rabbis that you anoint them with power and spirit, by your spirit, and not wisdom of man or seminary, or as I call it, cemetery. And Lord, just give them power and bless them and let them preach by the Spirit. And not as many have I seen other rabbis fall because they trust in men and the tithes that they bring. They trust in, you know, I know one guy who was put too much trust in a man who was given $10,000 a month. And that man ended up hijacking the congregation on him and broke up, cut the congregation in half, and messed it up real bad. So, Lord, give them courage and strength not to trust in men, but to trust in God. And, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. Bless our leaders. Take away the spirit of Shebna from among them. And give them the spirit of Eliakim. If there's any that are stuck on Shebna, then take them out, Lord. Take those who are in leadership, high leadership, for power, for control, who are in there for personal gain and prosperity and influence peddling, let them be taken out. Give us honest leaders who are fathers and intercessors for the rabbis, who are servants. Let them be servants to the rabbis so that we can be servants to the people. Make me a better servant. Lord, bless Carolyn today as she's still in the hospital. I told her the other night, I was sitting with her, I said, Carolyn, she says, she told the doctor, she said, I'm going home tomorrow, and she let the doctor have it. And I said, do you think maybe you might have said, well, if I'm believing that I'm going to go home tomorrow. And she ended up, I had a feeling she was going to be there a couple days, and she's still there. But anyway, we had fun. We had good banter and joking around. She was looking good the other night, and she was looking healthy, and she ate a nice big steak and cheese sub we got her, at the hospital. Even she had a tube in her lung, and she ate a big steak and cheese sub at midnight. She was hungry, and she looked great, and you know, she was complaining about the way her lip looked, but I thought her lip looked great. You know, it was from when she fell on the when she tried to eat my driveway here. No, she looked good to me, but she didn't like it. Anyway, so we just pray for Carolyn, Lord, that you heal her and bring her home today if possible. But as soon as she's well enough medically, we know that she's going to be well and she's going to be okay. And we thank you that her son Brian's with her and he's come to see her and take care of her. And she's got care, and we thank you that she's you know, she's being cared for. So we bless her, and we thank you that you heal her and protect her from all these injuries she has. In Yeshua's name, amen. And I pray for Dawn today. As she flies, that you give her, carry her on the wings of eagles and keep her safe in the skies as she flies down to Florida today and to California tomorrow. Lord, just protect her and let her flights be uneventful, on time, and without incident. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. And anyone else that's not well, that's sick, we pray for Aja. And we just remember her. She lost a kitty. One of her kitties died, and she's upset. We pray for her. Comfort Aja over the loss of her cat who had to be put down. And I know it sounds like a small thing, but when you love cats and you love your pets, it's a big deal. And, Lord, we bless the mothers. It's Mother's Day weekend. We just bless the mothers and those who by birth or by adoption. We bless the mamas here and the ones who aren't here in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. And for those who aren't here with us today, know that you're prayed for. We pray for you several nights a week. We have prayer, and we pray for everyone in the congregation. And so know that you're being prayed for constantly by our prayer team. And we love you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.
Servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel unto himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, just got to find the prayer. I'm not seeing it. What's next besides that? Hamidah, because the prayer's not up here. Okay. Oh, no, I found it. Okay. I found it. Never mind. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu ve'Elohei Avoteinu Elohei Abraham Elohei Yitzchak Elohei Yaakov Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanora Ha'el Elyon Gomel Chasadim Tovim Ve'konei Hakol V'Zocher Hasdei Avot U'mevi Goel Livnei V'Nehem L'ma'an Shemo Bi'ahava. And that means, that's on page 21, or you can get the English to that. It's the Our Fathers, page 22. I'll read it to you. Blessed are you, Lord our God, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and awesome God, the Most High God, who bestows grace and creates all and remembers the kindness of the fathers and brings a Redeemer to their children's children for his name's sake with love. Amen. Please rise for the Shema. It's good to be back with you all. Did you miss me? Come on. Is that just Susanna missed me? Aja, did you miss me? You all did. Eric pounding his heart. He misses me. I appreciate that, Eric. Carol missed me. Thank you, Carol. It's good to be missed. I missed you all. I wish I could take you with me. I really do. I love to hang out. I've always wanted to take you all to Cape Cod. I grew up on Cape Cod on the beach, And it was my dream 22 years ago to take the congregation to Cape Cod, where, the beach where I grew up. Josh has been there. He learned how to swim there. And so did his brother Isaac. More Isaac than Josh, but it's such a beautiful place. I always wished I could rent a big house and or two and bring the whole congregation up so you could see Cape Cod. It's a beautiful place. All right, what's next? Oh, Via Hafta. Via Hafta. Oh, Shema. I forgot to do the Shema. Shema. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malhuto, Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Meodecha, V'hayu HaDivarim Ha'ele, Asher Enochi Mitzvcha Hayom Al Levavecha, Bishinatam levanecha, Vinibarta bam, Bishiv de chava vetecha, Uvelech de chava derech, Uveshak becha, Ukumecha, Ukashartam, Almizazot betecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. You shall tie them as a band upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Leolam Vaed, Adonai Oz Leamo Yitain, Adonai Barech Et Amo Bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
There is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength to his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. What's next? Vayahi? Okay. I've got music here that's from last week, so. Vayahi ben Soharon, vayomer Moshe, kuma Adonai, viafutsu oivecha, V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion teitze Torah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. U'divar Adonai mi'Yerushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Liamo Yisrael Bidushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu Adonai Hamorach, Baruch Adonai Rav Yolam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, Benatan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. You can be seated. We'll count the Omer. Get over here. Give me a moment here. Okay. Today is 37. Just like school, you have to count. It's the blessing of the Omer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu al sefirot ha'omer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen, sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to count the Omer. And today is the 37th day, and the count is Hayom Shiva Ushaloshim Yom Shehem Shami Mashah Shaviot Ushane Yamin Laomer. Today is 37 days, which is 5 weeks and 2 days. Why do we count the Omer? Well, God said to, but it's an opportunity to count your blessings as you go through them, and you can learn to count. Sometimes I forget. So it's good. It's good for us to do that because it's building up to an expectation. And I often think of the people when Yeshua told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. And a lot of people stayed. They wanted to receive that unction, that thing from God. But a lot of people, probably the day before it came about, they probably left and went back home because they had waited and they didn't want. Sometimes you have to wait a long time to get the blessing. And I think that's with the counting of the Omer. There's a blessing that God gives you each day, and then the big one when you get to the 50. So today we got a double portion. The first one is Bahar, and it means on the mount. And this is from Leviticus 25 through 27. So it finishes the book of Leviticus, of Vayikra. And the other parsha is Bukutai, which means my regulations, or the instructions from the Lord. So we're at the end of the Leviticus, and it's the heart of the Torah. And you've heard me say that's the Leviticus is the book that Yeshua preached the most from when he was ministering upon the earth. And the Torah started with God speaking a very soft tone to Moses, and then we see today as we come to the end of it, God has maybe made a roar, you can say, of things, of a warning. God gives us warnings, and there's warnings today about what to do. Bahar tells us it's on the mount. It's talking about Mount Sinai. It's where, you know, a lot of people think, well, Moses only got the Ten Commandments when he was on Mount Sinai. But really, God gave him all of all of his word, and it took him time to write it down. But it was all given to Moses at that time. And he was given not only to Moses, but to all of the Israeli people were there below the mountain to receive it also on Shavuot. That's what the counting is up to, Shavuot, the giving of the Torah, and then later the infilling of the gift of the Holy Spirit that came. And so we see today with Bahar, it talks about two observances that are sanctified, and it's talking about years that they're sanctified in. And so it's the completion. God again is speaking to Moses and also to the children of Israel about what, when they come into the land, God is telling the things that he expects them to do when they first come into the land of Israel. Because at this time you're seeing God is ready to move the Israelites on into the promised land. That's what he's saying. This is what you will do when you come into the land. He's anticipating that they're going to go straight forward to that. So it's an instruction on holiness. When you look at the land of Israel, it out of all the earth, if you look at the whole earth, and I don't know how big it is, but it's gigantic, there is no place holier than the land of Israel. That is the holiest of holies as far as God is concerned. We have seen when it comes to the days of the week, which is what we're talking about here, God has established a special day, a day of rest, that is his Shabbat. And that is a time, that is an appointed time, just like Shavuot that we're going to observe in a couple of weeks. The Shabbat is an appointed time for God's people to come and to worship him at his house. That's why we have the Shabbat. All the other 6 days are just regular days. They're days to work, to play, do whatever you have to do. But the Shabbat, the seventh day, is a day that God has set aside special. He set aside it, creation. He created the earth in 6 days and all that was in it, and then he rested on the seventh day. It was how he gave us the example right before he even put any people there that this Shabbat's going to be so special to people. So the land of Israel is the chosen home of the Jewish people. And people are constantly, you know, Israel, I've got a lot of emails this week about seem like the attacks in Israel have increased, a lot of the bombings, and just, I mean, it's a nonstop situation. It seems just to increase as it keeps going on. It keeps getting larger and larger. So God instructed Moses about the land. And he's saying, when you come into the land, here's what you're going to do. The land, when you go in, that first year is going to be a Shabbat. It's going to be a holy year that God has chosen. And that's just like, and the Shabbat that he's addressing is, it's called the Shemitah. And some of you probably heard that before. It's 6 years, you shall plant your fields, you shall prune your vineyards, and then you shall harvest and eat what you've got, what God has given you, and gather the fruit from the vineyards. But the seventh year is a year of Shabbat. That is a year that is called a Shemitah, and it means it's a year that is a fallow year, which means there's no planting and there's no harvesting. There's no pruning of the vineyards. On the seventh year of the Shemitah, you don't do any type of work in your fields or in your vineyards. It's the year of the Lord. It's the Shemitah that you don't work. And so that is, and what? How do they survive? How do you survive when you don't plant in the seventh year? God gives a triple increase to what people are planting and growing before you get to the Shemitah. It's sort of like getting the matzah. You know, on Friday you collected a double portion. So with the Shemitah years, God increases the proportion threefold. So you've got, so see what happens when you, on the seventh year, you don't plant. So the next year, you still don't have anything because you didn't plant anything the year before. And when whatever grows on the seventh year is just given to people. You don't go out and get it. In other words, the owner of the property or the vineyard does not go out and collect the wheat or whatever it is, or the grapes. It's given to whoever comes back and take what they want. It's a freebie, I guess you could say. You don't collect it and give it to somebody. You leave it where it's at, and they will come and get it. You don't do it. So it's a year of no production as far as planting it and taking it. You don't do that. So they had to have another year because they didn't grow anything. So there's another year, and that's why God gave the triple increase, so you would have enough to take you through the Shemitah in the next year, and then you would be able, that harvest would grow, and then you would have stuff to eat. So it's very important that it not be harvested. The second observance that's talking about in the parshas today is the seventh year of the seven-year cycle, which would be just like the counting of the Omer. It's 7 weeks. God uses the number seven quite often when you see things in his scripture. So this is the seventh year of 7 years in a row. So that would be 49. Seven times seven is 49. And that's the cycle, just like on the on Shavuot. It's seven times seven, which is 49. And on the 50th, that was Shavuot. Same thing here. 7 years times 7 years in a row, that is 49 years. And on the 50th year, it is called a Jubilee, which is a Yovel in Hebrew. And it means, it begins with the blast of the shofar. In Joshua 6:14, we see at in Jericho, it was the seventh day. They were seven priests with seven shofars, and they encompassed the city seven times. And on the seventh time, what happened? The walls fell. And you can go out and Google it and look at National Geographic, some of those places, and they've actually found the ruins of Jericho where the walls actually fell down. They found that's something that's in the scriptures that's proven by, I'm going to say, by science or by the people that do that investigation stuff, that it's there. They found it. They know that it's there, and the walls came down. See, Yovel means the ram's horn. It means the 50th year. It also stands for freedom, that there's something going on. See, God, on the 40th day of the Omer, on the 50th day, God gives the Ruach HaKodesh to all of the people. And so, the same thing, on Yom Kippur, we see the sounding of the shofar, the Yovel, the shofar, is sounded once again. It means freedom. And it tells us with the Yovel year, or the year of the 49th or the 50th year, we see that it was a release from bondage. If you were indebted to the land, that was the year that you were set free from your bondage. The land also in the 50th year was returned to the families. God redeemed the land himself, and it returned to the ancestral communities, the ancestral families that originally got the land from God. It went back to that, to those families. And again, there was no, in that year also, in the Yovel, there was no sowing or pruning or taking care of the grapes or anything like that. Nothing was done. And so God also in those years gave them a triple harvest also. Jeremiah 2:1 tells us, Israel is holy unto God. All who devour it will be guilty, and evil will come upon you. God, the people that are trying to destroy Israel, if they realize it or don't realize it, God is going to ascend upon them, and he's going to destroy the evil hearts, the evil deeds that they have, because no matter, it's like trying to destroy the dirt. You can set it on fire with gasoline or something, but it's still going to be there. You can't destroy something that God has created. And so God has created Israel along with the Jewish people, and you're not going to be able to remove them from the land of Israel. No treaty or anything like that is going to do it. It's a man-made thing, and God is above the man-made things. And he says that he's going to come up on them because he says the God of Israel is a great God. And so those are the promises that God made. You know, when you, it's like the blowing of the shofar. It's like when the return of Yeshua in Leviticus 25. It says the sound of the ram's horn will be on the 10th day of the seventh month. And it sounds on that day. And it's just like when Yeshua is returning, there will be a blast of the mighty shofar. Each parasha tells us, as our lives change, the scriptures don't change. God doesn't change his word. It's same yesterday, today, and forever. He tells us to not conform to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's in Romans 12, so that you will know that God wants us to be in good, satisfying, and he wants us to succeed. And just to close this morning, says today we stand at a crossroads looking at ancient paths, and that the ancient path is the right path to follow. The scripture says it, follow the ancient ways. That's the Torah that a lot of people don't think the Torah is relevant anymore, but the Torah is the ancient path. It's the only path that God has, is the ancient way. So when you find that path, you will find rest for your soul. That's Jeremiah 6:16. In Colossians 3:2, see, just to close this, set your mind on things above, things of God, things of heaven, and not on the things of this earth, because the day is coming when they will pass away. They'll be gone. Shabbat shalom.
Is my head mic on? Josh or Eric, could you grab the chair over here for me, please? Thank you. Have announcements, just a few announcements. Some interesting things going on in the world right now that you need to be aware of. There's a debt crisis going on in this country. How many of you are aware of the debt ceiling, that America doesn't really have enough money to pay its debt payment either in June or July? The Treasury Secretary says she doesn't know exactly when, but I think they do, because they have actuaries and statisticians and accountants and all these people who do numbers, and they know exactly how much money we have and don't have, and they're just not telling us, but it's coming soon. And the president's trying to make a deal, or the Congress is trying to make a deal with the president, and nobody's budging. And it looks, you know, somebody will blink at the last minute probably, but meanwhile, I want you to understand, if America fails to pay its debt even 1 month, to pay the interest on the debt. It's like you have a credit card, and you got to pay at least the interest every month, right? Or they might cut your credit, you know, give you a bad credit rating. They might charge you more interest. Amen. So there's companies called Standard & Poor's and Moody's, and what they do is they cut the credit rating of governments. And so the only thing that could lower the credit rating of the United States is if we don't pay that interest payment on our debt. If we don't pay the interest payment on the debt we have, most of that debt is in the form of what they call treasury bills, which are like government-issued bonds that pay interest. So right now, 2 years ago, they were paying about less than 1%. Yesterday, you could get a three-month treasury bond for about 5.2% interest. And you can put $100,000 in it and get 5.2% interest in 3 months. Or middle of June, excuse me. Middle of June, you get 5.3. June 13th, you get 5.2% interest. If you have $50,000, $10,000, whatever, and you buy one of those bonds, and it's backed up. Now, I don't think the government's going to go out of business, because Aliyah has to happen. And in order for Aliyah to happen, there has to be airplanes, and there has to be gasoline. There has to be an economy. Amen? Everybody say there has to be an economy. We have to have an economy in order for Aliyah to happen. And I don't sense that the world's going to that the United States is going to... We're unraveling, that's for sure, but we're not going to unravel that quickly. I've looked at it enough. But here's the thing that might happen to you, and this is something to be concerned about, because if they can't pay their debt payment, they're going to rob Peter to pay Paul. So if the U.S. government, if Joe Biden, if he can't pay, and Janet Yellen, if they can't pay the debt payment, they're going to take away money from Social Security. You're going to take away money from Medicare and Medicaid and all these government programs that they're giving. Food stamps have declined. They've dropped people off the rolls of food stamps last month, big time. They're cutting people back on their perks. And you see, they can take that money and use it, and it won't lower the credit rating. If they don't pay you Social Security and they don't pay Medicare, it won't hurt the credit rating of the United States if they don't pay those things. But if they don't pay the interest payment on the debt, that will hurt the dollar will collapse, the economy will go into recession or depression, and the credit of the United States will go down from an AA+ rating or whatever to like a, you know, it'll go down. So I want to prepare you for this, that these things could happen, and I don't know. It's a good time to be praying. If you're on Social Security or if you have Medicare and Medicaid that you depend on, it's a good time to be in prayer for these matters, okay? Another interesting event, I was away last week, and while I was away, I watched the coronation of King Charles. I know it sounds funny, but scholars find this stuff interesting. So I'm going to just share my thoughts on it for a moment. And I'm no fan of the man personally, but, you know, if you hear me out, you'll hear, I think you'll find this interesting. While I was away on vacation, we watched the coronation. Whatever you think about the English monarchy, you can learn a lot from the way a king was anointed with oil. You don't see that very often. He was anointed with oil from Jerusalem by men who have been ordained and presumably called to serve God and the Anglican Church. Now, whatever you may think of the Anglican Church, and I respect that, I feel certain that those older men who served at the altar and who anointed Charles as king were called by God when they were much younger. I feel certain that they served as parish priests, and I know for a fact that they were promoted to high ranks such as bishop and archbishop of Canterbury because of as much of ability and service as well as possibly being groomed or born to the right family connections. I assure you, no blue-footed booby, that's a bird, makes it to archbishop. You know, you see, it doesn't really matter whether Charles is a sinner or a saint. And if you look at the kings of Israel, here's where I want you to start thinking and not judging. Think about this for a second. Was every king of Israel a righteous man? Was every king a godly man? No. So does it matter? Was Saul a righteous man? Was Saul a good man? Did Saul persecute David for 13 years? But David wouldn't touch Saul, would he? Because he was the Lord's anointed. Okay, so think about that. And you see, it doesn't really matter whether Charles is a sinner or a saint. The British monarchy has survived 1,100 years. Time matters, folks. 1,100 years, and Charles is related to King Alfred, the man who had the vision of a united kingdom back in the 9th century, and whose vision, that means England is older, is almost four times as old as the United States. It's more than three times as old. And there's a, you know, that's impressive, because England isn't a saintly country. You know, it's not a godly country per se, but their system, you have to say to yourself, why has England survived and we're falling apart? Well, there's something about their system and the way they maintain their system that's holding them together. And they have a sense of patriotism and national love. Whether they're on the liberal side or the conservative side, they're proud of being English. People aren't proud to be American anymore. Many people aren't proud, not all, many people aren't proud of being American. But in England, they all wave the flag, whether they're liberal or whether they're conservative, they wave the flag mostly, and they're proud to be, and that's what keeps the country alive. And they fight like cats and dogs in Parliament. You ever watch Parliament on TV? They shout at each other, and they scream, and then they go out and eat lunch and drink whiskey together. I mean, that's the way they do it, you know? But let me finish this. So you see, it doesn't really matter whether Charles is a sinner. The monarchy is 1,100 years old. And because one man named King Alfred of Wessex had a vision in the 9th century, in the 800s, of a united kingdom, he had, of uniting the kingdom. You see, Back then, there were many kings around the country and nobles, and they were being attacked by the Vikings relentlessly. So Alfred had this vision of uniting the whole country under one king, and it came to pass, I believe, by his grandson, united the whole realm under one king. That's what God's going to do, people. He's going to unite the world. It says one day we're going to be one kingdom with one shepherd. Amen. There'll be one flock. John 10:14, I believe, it talks about it. I am the good shepherd, and I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I will bring them, and together you will be one flock with one shepherd. One day we're all going to be one flock. Like, we're going to be a united kingdom. Everybody say united kingdom. There's no other picture in the world of a kingdom like England, where all the kings came together and became one kingdom with one shepherd and so forth. And it's not perfect, but it's a great example for us of what the kingdom of God's going to look like, okay? That's why I said, hear me out. The scripture says in Daniel 2:21, God knows all. He changes the seasons and guides history. He raises up kings and also brings them down. It doesn't say Jewish kings. It just says God knows all. He changes the seasons and he guides history. He guides history. That means he's guiding all the things that are happening in the world today. And he raises up kings like Charles and he brings them down. Now, Charles may be king for a year. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone at King Charles, God's anointed king of the Great Britain and the United Kingdom. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't particularly care for the man or his climate beliefs and participation in the Great Reset with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, but somehow I don't sense he'll be long on the throne. He already looks exhausted, and so does the Queen Consort. I think the Queen tried to live as long as she could so he wouldn't be long on the throne. Yet in my understanding of Scripture, Charles is the Lord's anointed, just like Saul, just like David. Israel had many good kings, such as David, Solomon, Asa, Hezekiah, Josiah, and there were many evil kings, such as starting with Saul. But even though Saul was an evil king who persecuted David for 13 years, David would not strike Saul because he was the Lord's anointed king. Do you know that even the Archbishop of Canterbury now? I know two young men who quit their jobs recently, and not my son here, not Joshua. I know two young men who quit their jobs because they were too hard, and they ran away. They just quit their jobs. Let me tell you, you don't stay as a priest or a rabbi for 50 years if you can't. If your heart's not in it, you won't make it. If you're not called to it, you're not going to make it 50 years. All right. These guys are 70 years old anointing this guy king. They're not going to make it to 70. They don't get paid that well as priests, as parish priests. You know, only when they get the big jobs they start making. But you can't, money doesn't keep you on the job. You have to love what you're doing. Can I get an amen? All right. So David would not strike Saul because he was the Lord's anointed king. Do you know that even the Archbishop of Canterbury is anointed by God, and the Pope, I don't support the Pope, but he's the anointed leader of his people, of his people, not my people, his people. Even little old me and Rebbitzin Don were anointed by 15 or so rabbis and high leaders back in 2007 when I was ordained and anointed as a rabbi. None of you were there to see it, but I have pictures of it, and I don't, you know, I know myself what was done. God sees it. I know I was anointed. And so pardon me if I believe and teach biblical protocol. I know many people disregard it as baloney, but God does not. Psalm 105:15 says, "Do not touch my anointed, and to my prophet do no harm." We could all do better to learn respect for the Lord's anointed, whether they be parish priests, Baptist pastors, messianic rabbis, or kings and bishops, senior rabbis, or all have been anointed and called to serve. Even presidents. God rebuked me for making fun of Bill Clinton when he was having his charade going on, and I was cracking all kinds of words, and God told me, he rebuked me and told me to respect the office of the president. So let's talk about grafted in today. I've been teaching on the Kinsman Redeemer And I'm not going to teach right now, but I'm going to talk about being grafted in today. And the last 2 weeks before I was away, since there were Gentiles present at what is now known as the first Pentecost, I feel to talk about being grafted in from a biblical perspective. So that will be my sermon in a few minutes after worship. So let's we'll get to that. And I just wanted to say one other thing. Lord help me. We had a tree fall down. And Bill, did you get a chance to cut that tree down?
No.
Not yet. Okay. All right, no problem. I'm just checking. We had a tree fall down, blocked the driveway a week or so ago, but I was away and I didn't even tell anybody about it, really. I don't know. It was blocking the driveway. It didn't hit the fence. And our lawn man, he cut it down, moved it away, cut it up, and took it away. Just wanted to mention that. I thought it was interesting about the king. And, you know, we don't get to see kings anointed very often in our lifetime. It's a rare thing. And for that reason, I wanted to share that with you. There is one other thing I wanted to tell you, and it's not coming to me, so Lord help me think of it, and I'm sure He will, and I'll announce it. It's not coming to me, but I'll say it before I preach. Anyway, God bless you, and thank you all for coming. Thank you for folks watching online. We bless you. God is just doing wonderful things, providing for this ministry by people who support us from outside, who read our newsletters, and a dear friend, an old friend who used to be here with us, sent in a very large donation to the ministry last week, and I sent out a newsletter called The Synagogue of the City, and this gentleman responded to it in a beautiful way and blessed us, so we were able to make our budget last week. And so I thank God that, you know, God's word says don't trust in man, trust in God. God is your provider. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings at this time. Let's pray. Folks online, if you'd like to be blessed and you get blessed by this ministry and our teachings and our worship, then please consider supporting right there online. You can donate, and I promise you, God will bless you too, because I believe we're the real deal. We are your local connection to Israel. And, you know, I want to warn you. Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you. I want to warn you two things. When you watch something on YouTube, make sure you know who's the person you're watching. Who are they covering? Where are they associated with? Who ordained them? The king was ordained by the high priest with oil. You know, who anointed this person that you're watching on TV? Who made them? Where did they get their authority? You need to look and think about that. There's so much false teaching out there. And I want to warn you about that. Be careful who you watch. Be you know, what you put in your eyes and your ears, be careful, because it gets into your mind and can corrupt you to the point where you fall away. And right now we're living in very dark times, and many are falling away. So the other thing I wanted to tell you is get your house in order. I've said this before. Some of our folks are getting older. You need to make plans. You know, I have buried some people in this congregation, and you need to make those plans. And if you know, some people go to churches and they come here, they need to make the plans, because sometimes maybe you want your pastor, if you're going to a church, you want your pastor to do your funeral, but he might not live long enough. You might outlive that guy, and I won't know. If you pass away, something happens to you. Like Carolyn ended up in the hospital. God forbid, I'm not talking about death, but I'm just saying she ended up in the hospital. It was a shock. you know, and her lung collapsed because of a needle going in. The doctor accidentally poked her with a needle for a normal procedure, and it collapsed her lung. And, you know, God forbid something happened to her, I wouldn't know what her plan is. And so I'm asking you, please, I don't care. I don't mind. It's not that I don't care. I don't mind if you don't want me to do your funeral, if you have somebody else, but make your plans. Make your arrangements. Let them be known what you want to do for your end of life issues, and have a will. Please, people, get a will, get a lawyer, even do the online thing. It's cheap. But get your house in order. Please get your houses in order. Don't wait. Don't put it off. We're not spring chickens for the most part around here. And please get your house in order. Nobody has come to me with any issues just to discuss any of that stuff. And I can't help you if I don't know what your needs are. And like I said, I don't mind if you want me as a backup to some other pastor, God forbid, if something happens to somebody. I don't mind. But if you don't let me know, I can't do anything. So you need to get your house in order. That's one thing the Lord put on my heart this week. And there's one other thing, but I can't think of it. Let's take up our offering. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your blessings and your love. And your provision for this ministry, and the way you've provided for us by faith. We lived by faith, Lord, for 24 years we've been in this ministry here in Tennessee. It's our 25th year since 1999. We're heading into our 25th year, and we just give you praise. We came in July 1999, and now we're heading into July 2023. And it'll be the beginning of our 25th year this July. So amazing. Quarter of a century, half my life I've been here. Thank you, God. Thank you for all your blessings. We love you and praise you. Now bless this offering. Bless the givers and bless the gifts 100-fold in Yeshua's name. And don't forget the blue basket for alms for the poor in Yeshua's name. May God bless you as you give. Amen.
Fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye. We will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle
Hallelujah. Before you start the music and the worship, I remembered what I wanted to tell you. I had a friend who has a friend who died of sleep apnea. They were undiagnosed. And I used to fall asleep. I see this is several people in the congregation fall asleep a lot. And I'm not going to name names. But the point is not because I mind that you fall asleep, but I'm concerned for your health. And that is sleep apnea. If you've not had a sleep study, which is all you do is they put wires on you and you go to sleep for the night. You go in at 9 o'clock, you wake up at 5 a.m., they take the wires off you, and they tell you if you have sleep apnea. If you've not done that and you're over 50, if you find yourself falling asleep during the day, if you're overweight or you have high blood pressure and you've never had a sleep test, sleep apnea is a silent killer. And I tell you, I couldn't keep up with my family for years. I was falling asleep all day long. Now, I would sleep 7-8 hours at night, but I would still wake up. I would, like I didn't sleep. And if you're waking up tired after a night's sleep, you might have sleep apnea because it means you're not getting REM sleep. If you're not getting REM sleep, you wake up and you're not rested. You can take naps and wake up and not be rested. And if that's happening to you, I urge you to get a sleep study test. Sleep apnea is a silent killer. It can cause heart attacks. If you don't have REM sleep, your body's not recovering. It can raise your blood pressure, cause stroke, heart attack, many other. It can even cause cancer because your body's not recovering. Your sleep isn't really. What happens is you're stopping. Your breathing is stopping. Mine was stopping 37 times an hour. 37 times an hour. Somebody else I know is stopping 67 times an hour in this congregation. You know, I'm not going to say who. But I've seen people with stopping 95 times an hour who stop breathing 95 times an hour. That's like almost like, I mean, you could, that's like a heart attack. You know, your heart can stop or you can have a stroke if you stop breathing, you know. So please get yourself tested if you have any of those symptoms. If you're over 50, if you're overweight, if you snore, if you don't feel rested when you find yourself napping all day, please get a sleep study. That's just what I wanted to say. That was the one word. I love you and I'm concerned about you. All right, let's do worship. That's for folks online too. And I feel great since I got mine. Turn it up here.
Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the sins of my people, he was slain. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. It was the will of his Father to crush him and take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the sins of my people he was slain. It was the will of his Father to crush him and take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall all bow before his throne. HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. about Shalom Jerusalem.
Salvation was poured out for you, the atoning of our God. Once your streams were filled with joy, branches raised up high, shouting, blessed be the Lord.
Honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken. You are the healer. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto your name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We done? Got anything else? Oh, sure. Hit me. If you're new, we have communion. We go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. Christians call it communion. We do it every week. And so I'm going to ask Susanna, would you mind sharing? If anybody needs hand sanitizer, I think there's some back there. Also, Sharon, are you able to help her? Are you okay? Are you sure? All right. Sharon and Susanna will serve. And so come. I'm going to go down and bless the cup. We need to get a new cup. I used to have two. They seem to have disappeared. So nobody's seen them at the fellowship hall, have they? Yeah. I need to buy one online or something. But maybe get one of my Passover cups. Put it to use. All right. So I'm going to make my way down and bless the cup. And turn on the mic. If Anthony would like to take communion, he'd need to come up. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. On the night Yeshua was betrayed, it was Passover. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, he was having a Passover Seder meal with his disciples, and he mentions the cup taken after the meal, which we Jews call the cup of redemption. And he said something nobody had ever said about that third cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And then he took the afikomen, which is a little piece of matzah that's a very special piece that's hidden during the Passover. And he broke it in small pieces, as is typically done at a Passover meal. And he gave it, the host gives it to everyone at the table. And together the afikomen is taken with the third cup, the cup of redemption. Just as was done today in our Passover a month or so ago, and was done at the Last Supper with Yeshua, did it. And he took the third. But instead, he said something also unusual about the bread. He said, "This bread is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So no one had ever said, "This, the matzah is my body," you know. And Catholics believe it actually becomes the body, transubstantiation. We believe it represents his body, that he was giving us an object lesson of what he was going to do. But he also made it a sacrament, like baptism. It's something that we receive grace by doing it, and baptism is a testimony to the world. It's your testimony. When you get baptized in front of an audience of people and you testify, you're telling publicly that you are a believer in the Messiah, and you're sharing how you came to faith in the Messiah, and that's kind of, I believe, why God requires us to do it. But you notice the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. He went to heaven, but he testified publicly of that Yeshua was the Messiah, because he said, this man has done nothing. He's innocent. And he defended Yeshua. And Yeshua said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." And that's a mystery to me, how he could be in paradise, because we know that he went down to hell. So how could he go to paradise and hell at the same time? I think Yeshua the man went to hell, and Yeshua the Son of God went up. That's all I can think, how they could be in paradise that day. Because one went down, one part of Yeshua the man, he was 100% man and 100% God. There's certain mysteries of the Bible that are just going to be, we're not going to know. As the Bible says, we see in part through a darkened lens right now. But when we get to heaven, we shall know as we are known. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the Bible tells us to prepare our hearts and to confess our sins and get prepare to come to the table of the Lord. So this is a good time to confess your sins. If you're at home and you have some juice ready and some bread, or matzah, or crackers, whatever you use, you can welcome to join us. We do it every week, so if you prepare in advance, all the better. Let us go to the Lord's table. I'm going to hand this over to the ladies. Sharon, this is lighter probably than the cups, so I'll give you that. And I'll let you guys go to it. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth.
Every day I long for more of you. Every night I'm thinking of you. No one can love me the way you do. Here I am to stand in your presence. No one can love me the way.
L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. I'd like to thank Susanna for making this little lion for me for my birthday, and which was May 5th. My wife took me away for a lovely vacation. Usually we go spend a week in Florida, 1st of May, first week of May, but this year there's perks in being a pilot, so having a wife as a pilot, so we went to Aruba. And had a wonderful week together, just a delightful time together, a beautiful place. People are lovely. I don't think I met a nasty person the whole time I was there. Maybe one. And here comes something. Here comes Thumper. Here comes Thumper. Here comes Thumper. Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you, sweetheart. You want me to open it now or later? Open it now? Okay. Praise the Lord. By the way, we prayed for you, Aj. I think you were in the bathroom. Well, goodness gracious. Happy birthday. Dad, love you, Josh. Plant some pretty flowers. Amen. That's what I plan to do. If I can't do it myself. Oh, somebody gave me seeds. Those lovely seeds. Shasta daisies. Thank you. Who? Oh, I did. We prayed for that. We prayed for your cat and you. Oh, yes. It says, and remember Sheba. We remembered Sheba while you were in the restroom. Aj's cat passed away, had to be put down, and we know that, as I said before, people's pets mean the world to them, and we know how much Aj loves her cats, so I love my cats, so Josh knows we've lost one of our precious kitty, and I used to call him Blackjack. What did you call him? The cat that died. You forgot him already? Midget. That's it, Midget. And our dog, S'mores. So we missed our pets. Happy birthday, Rabbi Love, Susanna, and Martinez, I guess it says there. And be blessed, Anthony, and Sharon Philippi. Happy birthday, praise Yeshua, Psalm 115, Eric Crum, amen, good word. A blessed birthday, Rabbi, we love you, always will remain faithful to you in Yeshua, Shalom. Who wrote that? Who? Aja. Okay, thank you, sweetheart. That's beautiful. Well, thank you all. This is lovely. I got a Starbucks gift card, and somebody gave me a little cash, a little kesef. Praise the Lord. Thank you for thinking of me. That's beautiful. and very nice. And I will enjoy that very much. Thank you so much for thinking of me. God bless you guys. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed watching the service while I was away. I did watch majority of it, and Anthony did a great job last week. He preached his first sermon. He didn't just give a Torah teaching. He actually preached a sermon. I think for the first time I've ever heard a full sermon. I enjoyed it. I did a great job. So I hope you enjoyed it. Amen. All right, and today's message, let me pray and we'll start. Today's message is Shavuot, Pentecost, the true meaning of being grafted in, what it means to be grafted in, okay? So have you started? Okay, you can start. I'll pray and then you can start, Josh. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word today that you've given me, and help me to communicate, anoint our ears and our hearts to hear, to receive your word in truth and in spirit. Lord, if people don't agree with me, your word says, come, let us reason together. So if people don't like what I have to say, Lord, let them come to me and not run away, but let them come and tell me what their problem is. I'll reason with anybody. Even the man who called me the hind end of a donkey today at McDonald's, I offered to pay for his family's breakfast instead of calling him a name and escalating the tension. I offered to pay, and he shut up pretty quickly, and his wife apologized to me. And the Bible says when somebody's like that, do something kind to them, and heap hot coals on their head. And so, anyway, that's what I went through before I came here today. So I knew it was going to be a good day because I got attacked last night. I got attacked this morning. And so we're going to have a good message today. I know it. So bless the word, anoint me, and bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. All right. Thank you, Joshua. Shalom, friends on Facebook. This is Rabbi Joe, and I'm not slow. Good to be back. After a week gone, my wife took me away for my birthday last week. It's wonderful. We used to go to Florida for a week once a year, but now my wife, being a pilot, she's taking me to fancy places. So we went to an island called Aruba, and I figured that they got the name from the two guys founded the island. One was an Arab, the other was a Jew, so they called it, instead of Arabia or Jubia, they called it Aruba. But I think that's just a theory. I don't think that's true. Okay, so but it was a beautiful island, and I highly recommend you go there if you ever get a chance. It's really was lovely. But I want to just say I'm getting better. I'm doing well. My blood's doing well. Doctors wouldn't do minor procedure where they burned the nerves in my spine six weeks ago. She wouldn't do it because my blood counts weren't high enough. But my blood counts were my platelets, my clotting ability was normal. And the doctor, I went to a new doctor, a pain doctor. If anybody needs a pain doctor to do shots or nerve blocks and things, I have a great doctor in Kingsport. I won't name his name on TV, but if you contact me and you need a great doctor, he has cancer, by the way, and we talked about it, and so I want to pray for him. I'll just call him Dr. J, and not the basketball player, but I just want to pray for Dr. J. Lord, I pray that you heal his cancer, and that may he live a long time. He's a great doctor, and he did a good job on me, and I pray for his life, and that you heal him of the cancer, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, and bless this message. Amen. Okay, well, today's message is Shavuot, Pentecost. We're continuing the series as we head towards Pentecost, Shavuot. The Hebrew name of Pentecost is Shavuot. It means the Feast of Weeks. It was actually a Feast of Moses, that all those people were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate. They weren't there for Yeshua. You might think, well, Yeshua rose from the dead, and all those people came to Jerusalem to the temple to have something to do with Yeshua. But they really didn't know anything about Yeshua. They may have heard about him or something, some of them, but they really weren't there. They were there for the feast, for the holiday. And it's one of the three pilgrim feasts, Shavuot. It's in Leviticus 15. It's called the Feast of Weeks in English. Shavua is the Hebrew word for week or a period of seven. It can be Shavua can be 7 years. It can be 7 days, 7 hours, 7 minutes. It's just a period of seven. So, but the word Shavuot means 7 weeks. So 7 weeks, if you count seven Sabbaths, they say in the Bible, in Leviticus 23:15, it says, count 7 weeks from the Sabbath, meaning the Sabbath at Passover, to the morrow after the Sabbath. That means the way we can tell it's a Sunday is because it says to the morrow after the Sabbath. And we know Yeshua rose from the dead on Sunday. So we believe, not every congregation, Messianics differ on this, but we are of the group that believe that every Shavuot or Pentecost is on a Sunday because he rose from the dead on the first day of the week, right? Matthew 28 says that it was in the morning and the women went to the tomb and the angel met them and said, what is it you're looking for? And they said, our Lord, he's not here. And he said, where is our Lord? And they said, the angel said to them, he's not here. He has risen from the grave. You won't find him here. Look inside. He's risen. And so they went and the angel said, go and tell his disciples. And so they ran excitedly to tell his disciples that he had risen from the dead. And that was on Sunday morning, on the first day of the week. Matthew 28 tells us. So we know from that is how we base that we count seven Sabbaths from the Sabbath during Passover plus one day. That's 50 days. And the Christians get, the Gentiles, the way they got Pentecost was 50 days, seven Sabbaths to the morrow after the Sabbath, which was the first day of the week, 50 days. Pentecost day in Greek is 50th. So that's the Christians call it Pentecost, Jews call it Shavuot, same holiday. Okay, so let's open up to Romans 11, and let's start reading in verse 11, if you have a Bible. Romans 11. So we're going to talk about what the true meaning of grafted in and how it relates. And the reason I'm teaching on this is because... there were Gentiles at Pentecost, and there, you know, people might wonder. I don't know if you wonder, but some people I'm sure wonder, and some people probably don't know that there were Gentiles at Pentecost. That they were at the Jewish temple in Israel, in Jerusalem. There were Jews and non-Jews there, and so I want to discuss that a little bit today as we talk about the feast, and we're going to talk about the angle of being grafted in, what it true meaning, you know, what does grafted in mean? So we're going to discuss that today. What does it really mean? And how can we be grafted in? And what are we grafted into? What are we grafted into? So we're going to discuss that. So let's start in Romans 11, verse 11. And I'll start reading in the King James, and I'll switch off a little bit to a more modern translation. In verse 11. Now, actually, let's just read verse 1 of the King James of verse of King James of Romans 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? This is to make sure that people know that God is not unchosen, the chosen people. Verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people, the Jewish people? God forbid, Paul says, for I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So for those who think they're Israel, they're northern tribes, Paul was from Benjamin, which is in Judah. Benjamin and Judah were connected, but he's saying, I'm an Israelite. So that debunks the theory that the 10 northern tribes were the Israelites. Everybody was an Israelite, whether you were from Judah or whether you were from... David was the king of Israel, and he was from Judah. So this whole idea of Israelites and being from the north and Jews from the south is hogwash. It's not biblical. And Paul says that. He says, "For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin," which was in Judah. "So God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed..." Well, I'll go into that. I'm just saying right here, Paul's saying that that God has not cast away the Jews. Amen? He's not unchosen us. Okay? So let's look in verse 11. "And I say then, have they stumbled," Paul says, "that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their salvation..." through their fall, salvation, he's talking about the Jews, "through our fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them," the Jews, "to jealousy." So the Gentiles' job, he's saying, is salvation came to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. That's the job of the Gentiles, is to win Jews, not call us the hind end of a donkey at McDonald's. which happened to me this morning. And it was much worse than the hind end of a donkey, I'll just say that. But anyway, I ignored the man and offered to pay for his breakfast and his family too. And he kind of slithered away and shut up, and then his wife apologized for that, for his words. But anyway, God took care of me, and I kept my composure. So, and verse 11 and 12, he says, "Now if the fall of them be riches..." This is key. Remember this, friend. "Now if the fall of the Jews be riches for the world, and the diminishing of us be riches for the Gentiles, how much more our fullness?" So in other words, what greater riches? If you got riches, if you're a Gentile believer of Gentile descent, and you got saved because my people, my ancestors rejected the Messiah, you got riches. You got, what did you get? You got the Bible. You got salvation, eternal life. You got, your eyes open to the truth that the Lord, you got a relationship with the living God. You can hear him. He speaks to you. He directs you. The Bible says today, we read, he guides history. He guides your life. He counts the hairs on your head. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He's the one who protects you. You know, he delivers you from the snare of the fowler. Amen? God is your defense. He's your protector. How many times has he protected you from death? Think back in your life on how many times God has intervened and protected you from harm and destruction. I can think of dozens of times where he intervened in my life and saved me, from great harm, because I knew him. Amen? He listens, he hears prayer. He hears our prayers. All right, so let's continue on. So you get riches. The failure of my Jewish ancestors, particularly the leaders, to accept him as the Messiah brought riches to the Gentiles. It says, how much more will our fullness bring? How much more what? Riches. What greater riches could you get by our return? He's saying, you Gentiles are going to have greater riches when the Jews return to the Messiah. So it's, I would say that's a good investment. Amen. It's in your interest to invest somehow, whether you share the gospel with Jewish people, whether you pray for Jewish people, whether you support Jewish ministry, whether you do something to bless the Jews, because it's going to bring you greater riches. Spiritually, maybe physically, I don't know, maybe materially. I mean, I would say for many people, knowing the Lord has prospered them. Amen? People have gotten jobs. I was struggling before I knew the Lord. I couldn't get my job career was going down. I started making $50,000 at age 23, and I was making $28,000 at age 28. My career was going down the tubes. Thank God I owned a duplex house, and they were paying my mortgage, and my car was paid off, so I could live on $28,000 back in 1996. But I wasn't happy. You know, my life wasn't going the way I wanted it to. And so I sought God, and he came into my life and, you know, gave me my real career. And I'm sure if you're working, and, you know, I know somebody was recently out of work. Did you find work, sir? He's away, he's asleep. Anyway, we'll continue to pray for him that he finds work. So the point is God puts us where we're supposed to be. And if we obey God, he'll bring us, you know, the connections and the people that he wants us to connect with in our lives. And he'll show us the people not to waste our time with. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's move on here. Now, so riches are what's in store when the Jews return to God. And Paul says in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation, to jealousy, those who are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" So in other words, if our casting away brought reconciliation between the world, the Gentiles, with God, who were enemies of God before, but then when the Jews rejected the Messiah, many Gentiles, millions of Gentiles around the world, became believers, joined the family of God. We're going to talk about that today, about grafting in, and we're going to get to that in a moment. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead, resurrection? So, in Romans 11, 11 through 24, as I'm reading here, about the olive tree and its branches. So we read here, let's read in verse 14, 15, "For if the casting away of them be..." We read that is the resurrection of the dead. "For if the first fruit be holy," verse 16, "the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy," which holy means belonging to God. That's what it means, set apart to God. So if the root be holy, and if the casting away of them be... I'm sorry, it's a small print. I'm having trouble seeing it. "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree." So if some of my ancestors, the Jewish branches, were broken off because of their unbelief, and some of your ancestors and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted out of a wild olive tree in among them, and partakest of the root and fatness, or of the anointing of the olive tree. The anointing is Yeshua. He's really the root of the olive tree. The Bible says, "We are the branches, and he is the vine." Right. We are the branches and he is the vine. So let's read, I have it written here. "But if some of the branches," the Jews, "were broken off, and you, being a wild olive branch, were grafted in among us and became partaker with us of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the Jewish branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you." And the root is Yeshua. So, and he's the Jewish Messiah. We talked about King Charles earlier. He's the King of England, but Yeshua is the King of the Jews. Amen? So do not be arrogant because the Jewish King supports you. He's the root. Remember, he's the vine and we are the branches. He's the one, the vine brings the sap, the rich sap, or the oil on the olive tree, in the case of the olive tree, that feeds the olives. Amen? and feeds the branches. It's the sap of the olive tree is, I guess, the olive oil is the sap of the olive tree. Amen? So the root supports you. So you will say then, branches were broken off, Jews, so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. I hope you'll read this. Do not be conceited toward the Jews, but fear, for if God, especially the Messianic Jews, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in. So he's saying, you can be cut off from the olive tree. So you're grafted in, but if you don't, if you do something wrong, we're going to try to figure out what that is. If you do something wrong, you can be cut off from the olive tree. And so I submit to you, there's many, many people who call themselves Christians, and I'm going to demonstrate this in Matthew 25. Who are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to think they've been in that olive tree many years, you know, of their lives. When they come the judgment day, they're going to find out they were never really in it. They've been cut off from the tree. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they don't have a good future. So we want to find out what it's going to take for that to happen so it doesn't happen. We don't want that to happen to people, right? So behold the kindness and the severity of God. God, to those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. I am living proof. I am living proof that God is able to graft Jews back into the olive tree after 2,000 years. Amen? I was born again in 1996, virtually 2,000 years from the time Yeshua was crucified, or 2,000 years from his birth. So, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, the Jews will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches, the Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? Wow, it's my olive tree. I'm a partner in the ownership of the olive tree. Amen? As a Jew, grafted back into, it says, our own olive tree. So I can claim it, all right? Now, I say that not to boast. I'm only saying it because the word says it. It's not that I go around saying, it's my olive tree, you know, every day. I don't go around doing that. But for this purpose of this message, I'm saying to you, it's my olive tree, you know? And people should, believers, not especially of the non-Jewish variety, should have a little more love, maybe? Show a little more love to Jews, because it is their olive tree. Friend, I urge you to study these words carefully and take them to heart, for there is much anti-Semitism against the natural branches still alive, and even in the body of Messiah today. Not in every church, but in many. I've experienced it firsthand as a Jew. I tell you, such people as that may be cut off from the olive tree. Anti-Semitism is a good way to get cut off from the olive tree. I'll tell you that. Or as Yeshua put it in Matthew 25, he will say to many on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm just quoting a little bit of it. The biggest mistake is to think that it couldn't happen to you. Which brings me to the meat of the message today. What does it mean to be truly grafted in to my olive tree? Mine, you say? Yeah. Didn't you read Romans 11:24? Paul says, if wild branches were cut off from a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So in 1996, on February 14th, I was grafted back into my olive tree. It was a really good feeling, I'll tell you. I didn't know I was grafted into my own olive tree, but I found out later, and it was a good feeling. Because I can't think of a better tree to be grafted into. Amen? Yeah, that's me. I'm an owner of the olive tree, a partner in the Yeshua Olive Tree Company. I've been teaching about the kinsman redeemer and how he must be a living Jewish man, particularly a messianic Jewish rabbi, in order to be a New Testament kinsman redeemer. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I suggest you go to the website and listen to my last two messages on the kinsman redeemer in late April. Did you put the website on the Facebook? Thanks. All right, you folks, you can go to on Facebook and go to the website, and you can check out my last two messages in the end of April and the first week of May about the beginning of May about the kinsman redeemer. I highly recommend you listen to those messages because I'm not going to repeat it. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen, check them out. I made the point that strengthening the soul of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God, Acts 14:22. So strengthening the soul of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. This is Paul. This is the book of Acts, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 22. Exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. People think, well, I'll go on. It's not easy to enter the kingdom of God, friends. And I'm here to tell you, I fear that many practice, I'm not just talking to people in this room, I'm talking to people out there, everywhere. Many practice an easy believism and cheap grace, that they can do whatever they want and call it grace. You know, they can sleep around, they can fool around, they can get drunk, they can party, they can live like the world, look like the world, cuss like the world, and you know, behave like not, you know, fools, and not fools for Christ, but just fools, and just chalk it up to grace. That's cheap grace and easy believism. All I have to do is believe. I don't have to do anything else. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says faith without works is dead. James, read James 1 and 2. Faith without works. Not works of man, works of God. God will give you works. When you believe in him, he'll give you assignments. I think some people leave because they don't want to do in the work. They don't want to commit. I'm not saying anybody specifically. I'm saying some people leave because there's a commitment. There's a cost. If you're going to be a messianic believer, there's a cost. Even if you're going to be in a church, God expects you as a believer, there's works for you to do. Doesn't it say we were created for good works in Christ? Isn't that a scripture? Now somebody look it up. We were created for good works in Christ. This is not legalism. This is not Judaizing. This is the scripture. We were created for good works in Christ. Amen? And James says, faith without works is dead. Maybe those people will be cut off from the olive tree. People who believe but don't do anything. They just sit back and say, oh, I'm chosen. You know, there's churches like the Lutherans, for example, believe that they're predestined. They call it predestination. And that they sprinkle when they baptize you as a baby and you're automatically a Christian. You don't have to do anything. You know, you're lucky enough. You're just so blessed to be born a Lutheran that I'm not knocking Lutherans. I know there's a lot of very nice ones, you know, very lovely Lutheran people. But I'm not trying to knock them. I'm just talking about their theology. I think certain other high church denominations too teach this, that you you know, just you're saved, you're born into the church, and you're baptized when you're a baby. You don't have to do anything. Just you're just. Am I wrong? Episcopalians believe that, you know, that you were special to be Episcopalian. You know, that's all you had to do is be an Episcopalian. I was not fortunate enough to be an Episcopalian or a Lutheran, although a Lutheran pastor was nice enough to offer to send me to Lutheran Seminary in Minnesota. I was speaking in his church, and he offered to pay my way. He was a nice man. He wanted to make me a Lutheran minister. I thanked him. I appreciated the offer, but I had to let him know God's called me to be a Messianic. Why would I want to change? I'm a Jewish man. Why would I want to become something I'm not? You know, but it was a nice offer. Okay, let's go on. So I fear that many practice easy believism and cheap grace without following Yeshua's requirements that we be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I have taught you, that's from the scripture. James says we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. That's in James chapter 1, I believe. I have taught you evangelism and hundreds online as well. I've taught evangelism, how to share the gospel with somebody and lead someone to the Lord in 2 minutes or less. All year long I've been teaching this. Have I not? And so I have shared what Yeshua said in John 15:2. John 15:2, he said, "The Father cuts off every branch in me," in Yeshua, "that bears no fruit." Remember, he said in Romans 11 that if we do not, what did he say in Romans 11? He said, "Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold, the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off," he says. And right here in John 15:2, he says, "The Father cuts off every branch in me," in Yeshua. He's not saying the stranger. He's not saying the unbeliever. He's not saying the worldly person who drinks and sleeps around or the prostitutes. He's saying every branch in me. In other words, every branch who's a believer, who's in me, in Christ, that bears no fruit. That bears no fruit. What do we do at Sukkot? We walk around with branches, palm branches, myrtle branches, and willows of the brook. Amen. And we wave our branches. This one's got to hold this so it doesn't break. It's from last year. And we wave our branches, but we don't just hold branches, do we? What else do we have with it? Fruit. We have fruit. And that's our way of saying to God, it's a representation, "God, I'm a fruitful bough." There's a scripture that says Joseph is a fruitful bough. That's one of my favorite verses because my name's Joseph. So it says Joseph, I think it's in Genesis 48 or 49, says Joseph is a fruitful bough. When Jacob blessed his son Joseph, he said Joseph is a fruitful bough. And I've taken that as one of my scriptures, my life scriptures. Joseph is a fruitful bough. He's made me very fruitful. I've been blessed to be very fruitful and win a lot of souls and heal a lot of the sick, do the things that the Bible says. No, I don't heal them and I don't save them. God does. But he's used me because I've made myself available. I love to talk with people and then he prompts me when it's the right person, when an opening comes up to ask them if they know who they think Yeshua is and to go through, you know, the gospel, and then if they don't respond, and I say, "Well, I understand where you're at, that you're not ready to accept Yeshua today, but would you like to know if he really was God? Would you like to know if he was God? If you could know that, if he really was the Son of God, and that God is real, let's say you don't believe in God, would you be open? Would you want to know if he really was alive, and exists?" And if I was with a cab driver recently, and he said, yes. He said, I'd like to know. So I said, okay, pray this with me. Dear God, he prayed. We stopped the car and he prayed. Dear God, he said, if you're real, come into my life and demonstrate your power. Make yourself known to me, God, and show me who your son is. Reveal him to me and help me to know what I need from him in my life. What part he plays in my life. Reveal who Jesus is to me. And you, in Jesus' name, he prayed that prayer with me in a cab in Aruba a few days ago. I prayed with one other man to receive the Lord. He was a doorman, and he's reading the book of John. And this other guy, a cab driver, named Joshua, by the way, and Joshua prayed. He didn't know if he believed in God or it was real, so he prayed with me that God would reveal himself and show him who his son was. And I said, now all you have to do is wait and watch. God will reveal himself to you. And just wait and see what God does. You asked him. I believe he'll answer the prayer, because that's what I prayed. I asked God to come into my life if he was real. That's how I did it the first time. Second time, I invited him into my heart. Amen? Fruit. A branch without fruit gets cast into what? Well, it says right here in John 15:2, the Father, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I don't know how it could be any clearer. We talked about the olive tree in Romans 11, that you can be cut off. If you don't bear fruit, I would say that's one clear way. And I think some people run away here because they don't want to bear fruit. They don't want to do what it takes to bear fruit. And so they don't like, you know, I challenge people. A lot of rabbis don't do that. They don't challenge people. I know very few people teach evangelism for fact. Very few rabbis. Some do, some don't. I give an invitation every week. Except I didn't give one today, but I will. But, you know, I don't know how it could be any clearer, friends. Yeshua is saying that the Father cuts off the branches in him that bear no fruit and casts them into the fire. Do you remember 5 minutes ago when I read what Paul said about wild Gentile olive branches who had been grafted into the olive tree and being cut back out of the tree? I told you, I was on vacation last week and I shared the Lord with several people. I prayed with two to ask God to come into their life. I feel certain one got saved and the other is on his way. I did not tell you this for my health or because I need to improve my score. I said it to spur you on, to exhort you to start using that proposal statement and going out on the mall, to the mall or a restaurant or State Street or wherever, or a festival, county fair, wherever you want to do it, and trying it out on someone. Pray first for God to give you divine appointments. Everybody say that. Pray first for God to give you divine appointments. Now, you can do it. I spend a lot of time in doctor's offices, so I talk to nurses. I talk to technicians. If you go to doctor's appointments, talk to the nurse while you're getting your blood pressure taken. Every nurse, every time you go to a doctor's appointment, what do? They weigh you. They take your blood pressure and your heart rate. That's a good time to say, hey, can I ask you a question? Who do you think Jesus is? And do the proposal statement. And if you don't want to do that, just say, you know, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, was buried 3 days, and he rose from the dead. And it just changed my life. Do you believe that? That's all you got to say. I mean, what could be simpler? And all I could say is no. And if they say no, you say, well, you ought to consider it. You shared the gospel. I mean, at the very least, if you can't do the proposal statement, which is just a paragraph, you know, very least you can do is just sit there and share the gospel and say how much it changed my life. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, so I don't say it to brag or to boast, but or to, you know, put my score on the board. I say it to spur you on, to exhort you to start using sharing the gospel, because the Bible says work while it's day, and the daylight's going to end soon. We don't have a long time, folks. So, you don't have to go. I know some people have trouble walking here. You know, I know some people, I get it. I have trouble walking too. I had nerves burned in my back. 6 nerves burned, fried in my back on Thursday. Okay, so that my sciatica is gone. It's gone, except for I still have a little pain below my knee. But my butt doesn't hurt. My hip doesn't hurt. My leg doesn't hurt. I just wake up in the morning with a little pain under my knee, but I feel great. I can boogie down. Boogie on down. Do, 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 do. Down. Do, 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 do. Yeah, I can boogie because I don't have sciatica anymore because they burn the nerves and I don't have that pain. So I'm looking forward to boogieing on down. Woo! Glory! You know, I went to the Messiah conference one year, and they had the women who sang, "We are family. I got all my sisters and me. We are family." I forget the name of the group. Sister Sledge or something. Was it Sister Sledge? They came to our conference and they said, "We are family. I got all my sisters and brothers and me," because they were believers and they sang for us 2 years in a row. They came and sang that song for us, and they sang about Yeshua, and it was beautiful, you know, and I loved it. You know, we get treats like that every once in a while at conference. If you're not doing anything the first week of July, you want to get away, and the Messiah conference is coming up in Pennsylvania. You can go for a day, 2 days, 3 days. It's great to room with some people, bring some friends, or go with your sister or brothers. Or they have wheelchairs available, electric wheelchairs, so you can drive around campus. You can rent them, or you can even just drive and park on campus so you can get around and not have to walk all over the place because there are a lot of hills and things. But I recommend it. You know, if you can do it, go for 2-3 days. You'll have a great time. If you come on Saturday, Friday, Saturday, you'll usually see Paul Wilbur and Jonathan Kahn speaks on Saturday night. So it's good come at the end of the week, you know, and you'll see Jonathan Kahn. And if you can't afford it, you can watch the night services online. Anyway, let's go back to the message, okay? But if you're interested in going to the conference, just speak to me and I'll let you know what you need to do. Or just go to the MJA website, Messianic Jewish Alliance of America website, and you can learn about the conference there. So share the gospel. You won't get cut out of the tree. Amen? If you've never won a soul and you win a soul, you're going to be so happy. You're going to want to stop. God's going to light you on fire. You're going to be like one of those. They put this candle. I was at a Dutch pancake house in Aruba, and they found out it was my birthday, and they came with coconut ice cream with whipped cream, and there was like a Roman candle. It was a fire. It was like a sparkler, but it was a big, thick, like half inch wide sparkler shooting out flame, you know, sparkling flame. It was so powerful that I had to like sit back because it was wait for it to go out. It almost melted my ice cream. But it was, you know, but when you lead someone to the Lord, you're going to be all lit up. You're going to get all lit up by God. And you're going to just want to go out and do it again and again and again and again. You're going to keep going. Amen. I promise you, you lead someone to the Lord, you're going to want to keep doing it. So that's one way you won't get cut out of the tree. He wants you to share. If you're nervous, take a friend, practice with them first, role play. It really isn't hard. You can't mess up. Sharing the gospel, even if you only tell them that you believe that Jesus, what I said, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins and was buried 3 days and 3 nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day, then ask them if they believe that. It's that simple. When you have one success, you'll want to keep doing it. Let's go back to grafting in. What did Paul mean by it? How do we stay in it? Certainly not by bashing messianic rabbis like the guy did to me at McDonald's today. I would never do that to my rabbi. That's for sure. Maybe we can learn from the day of Shavuot, Pentecost. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 and 2. Pentecost is coming. Shavuot. Now, as we read, before we read this, I want you to think about what lily-livered cowards the disciples were before they received the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, Peter got saved at Caesarea Philippi, or Philippi, however you want to pronounce it. He got saved there at Caesarea Philippi, and he, you know, what did Yeshua say to him? Same thing we say in the proposal statement. Who do you think Jesus is? But instead of saying, who do you think Jesus is? He said, who do you say I am? Because he is Jesus. So he said, who do you say I am? That's where the proposal statement came from. You know, that's how he does it. So we were only following God in the way we do evangelism. We say, who do you say Jesus is? And, you know, when somebody says to me, well, that's complicated. I say, no, it's not. Do you believe he's a man? Do you believe he's a prophet? Is he a teacher? Did he live? Is he real? It's not complicated. What do you think about him? You know, if somebody says it's complicated, it means they want to get off on a story and tell you about their life. You don't want to do that. You want to focus on who is Jesus. Keep it about Jesus, and you'll be out of there in 5 minutes. I promise. Okay, so Acts chapter 1. So, Yeshua had told them to stay in Jerusalem, stay in the city until you be imbued with power, right? And, you know, he was taken up from them. And it says now, chapter 1, verse 4, now while staying with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John immersed you with water, but you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it's not your place to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed under his own control, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. He says, you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. What changed for Peter that he ran away from the Lord? How many people run away from God? I could write a book on all the people that have run away from this congregation. They've run away without sitting down and talking to me, and even asking for my blessing. Rabbi, would you bless me? God's calling me. You know how I know people aren't really called to leave? Because they run away. When they run, God, who else ran away in the Bible? Jonah ran away. It wasn't God's will, was it? He ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Some say he died and that God raised him from the dead. Whether he died or not, he probably looked dead by the time he got out of that wet fish. He probably, with all the gastric juices, he was probably white as a ghost. And some think he died and rose from the dead on the third day. Whether he did or not, it wasn't pleasant, right? Another person who ran away was Peter. Peter said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never, you know, I'll always be with you. And the Lord said to him, he said, Peter, when you hear the cock crow, three times you'll deny me. And Peter denied him to that little girl, teenager, 13 years old, 15 years old, whatever. He denied. He said, "Oh, I don't know that man. I'm not one of those Galileans." She said, "You were with him. Yeah, I know you. You were one of his disciples." "Oh no, not me. You got the wrong guy." And he ran away, crying. Right? That's not the way to do it, folks. Be a man. Put on your big girl panties. Okay? Put on your big boy pants, all right? Come and talk to the rabbi. You got a problem? Grow up. Be a man. Be a woman. Come and sit down. I'll talk with you. I won't yell at you. I won't bite your head off. But if you don't talk to me and you got problems, I can't fix it. I can't resolve it if I don't know what the problem is. And I've seen some pretty big men run away. Really big men. You know, in previous past years. The biggest man I've ever met ran away without telling me why. You know, people say to me, they say, what happened to so-and-so? I don't know. You tell me. They won't talk to me. They won't tell me. I know I must be scary. I know the man who called me the hind end of a donkey was scared of me today because he wasn't going to touch me. I was twice the size. You know, and but I thought I might have to come to blows at McDonald's today. You know, I didn't know where it was going because he was pretty nasty. All I did was say, hey, I just got one simple order. Can I go ahead of you? Because you're bringing your whole family in here. And I'm in a hurry. And he called me a nasty name and cussed me out. You know, praise the Lord. And I just said, you know, I didn't get nasty with him. I offered to pay for his breakfast. Because I wasn't going to let it ruin my day. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to let, I don't let anything ruin my day. I didn't let anything ruin my vacation. You know, I just had a great time. I had an awesome time last week. Hallelujah. And nobody defines me. Nobody, you can't hurt me. You can't mess me up. You can't, I know who I am. I know where I've been and I know where I'm going. Amen. Hope you do. It's really hard, isn't it? You can't mess up sharing the gospel. Even if you only tell them that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins and he was buried 3 days and three nights and he rose from the dead on the third day. Then ask them if they believe that. It's that simple. When you have one success, you want to keep doing it. So let's go back to grafting in. What did Paul mean by it? How do we stay in it? Certainly not bashing messianic rabbis, like I said. I would never do that to my rabbis, or pastors for that matter, or King Charles. And I don't like the guy. I could tell you don't either, some of you. But I wouldn't cuss him. I watch, you know. It's not my place, it's not my country. But it's interesting to me that there's still, hey, you know, what's interesting to me is that in this day and age, in post-Christian Europe, that they're still anointing a king with oil and having his hand, having him kiss a Bible. Now, it may look ceremonious and all that, but if they didn't believe in God, they wouldn't do it. You know, now he may not believe in God, but somebody believes in God because it was all about Jesus. And in fact, behind him, there was a picture of the Last Supper. And I was going to put it up on the screen because one of the things about the Last Supper is every guy in the room was Jewish. Every guy in the room was Jewish. Why did God choose us? What were we chosen for? Take the gospel to the world and to teach. Well, Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, go and make disciples, followers of all the nations, the goyim, the Gentiles, that's the word for the Gentiles and the nations. Go and make disciples of all the Gentiles, teaching them what I commanded you and what I taught you to do. And so he taught them Shabbat, he taught them Passover, he taught them how to raise the dead and how to heal the sick. He taught them how to love and how to, you know, the Beatitudes, how to be merciful, how to love their neighbor, how to go to their brother when they're offended. He taught them how to go to their brother when they're offended and reason. Come, let us reason together. He taught them Torah. Amen. And But I told you, if you listened to my last two messages, that we were excommunicated. by Pope Victor excommunicated the Jews, and then Constantine excommunicated the ones that Pope Victor didn't get to in the 3rd century. Constantine excommunicated the rest of us. Now we Jews, I believe, remember I said in Romans 11, we were sent to bring you greater riches. God sent us to bless you. That's why I say God chose the Jewish people to be the kinsman redeemer of the nations, spiritually, not just spiritually, but in the New Testament sense, we are, since a kinsman redeemer has to be a Jew and a living Jew. That's why if you read Matthew 1, the Holy Spirit, who's the father of the Messiah, couldn't be a kinsman redeemer, because it says this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, but the Holy Spirit isn't a son of Abraham, and he's not a son of David. So Joseph was the only one who gave the title, the inheritance. That's another reason I mentioned King Charles, because he has a son named William who he's going to give the title of king when he dies. It's going to pass through inheritance to his son. And so since the Holy Spirit doesn't have the title of son of David or son of Abraham, because Abraham didn't give birth to the Holy Spirit, no king of Israel, the Holy Spirit's not born of a man. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man, right? God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man. I can't remember the rest, but it says that. Amen? God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man. So if he's not a son of man, then he's not a son of Abraham. So that's why right there you see Joseph is the kinsman redeemer of Jesus. And that's why God needed Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, headline news, page 1 news. Okay, first page of the Bible, Joseph is the kinsman redeemer of Yeshua. Amen? Yeshua was the kinsman redeemer of the apostles, but when Yeshua went to heaven, like my daddy or your relatives who went to heaven, hopefully, they can no longer, if they're Jewish, be kinsman redeemers. My daddy's not my kinsman redeemer anymore. Now I would say probably Joel Chernoff is my kinsman redeemer. You know, he's the closest Jew that I have a spiritual relationship to. Maybe it's Rabbi Michael Wolff. I don't know. But you know, these are my leaders. You know, I'm the kinsman redeemer of my family. I'm my wife's kinsman redeemer. But a kinsman redeemer can only be a Jewish man. There were no other nation, Ecuador, Aruba, France, Ukraine, they didn't have kinsman redeemers. Only Russia didn't have one. Turkey didn't have one. Persia didn't have one. Only the Jews had a kinsman redeemer. Only the Jews had a Messiah. The Turks and the Greeks didn't have a Messiah. Okay, the concept of a Messiah is a Jewish concept. The concept of a kinsman redeemer is a Jewish concept. And only a Jewish man can be a kinsman redeemer. And that's why the church needs Jews. If they want greater riches, they need Jews to get saved so they can bring them their inheritance. Ezekiel 47:21. We've read it a million times. I'll just quickly read it right now. Ezekiel 47:21. The Jew is the kinsman redeemer of the Gentile, of the sojourner. It says here in Ezekiel 47:21, which hasn't come to pass yet, it says, you are to divide this land for yourselves to the tribes of Israel. This is in the future, when all Israel are believers. So you are to divide it by lot for an inheritance for you and for the outsiders, the Gentiles, who dwell among you. Whoever bears children among you, they will be to you like native born of Israel, children of Israel. They will be allotted an inheritance along with you among the tribes of Israel. So people who are messianic, who dwell with us in this life, will go to Israel in the millennium comes. you guys will come whether you're resurrected and you make it or whether you travel there with us by plane. You will go and be part of the, it says, in whatsoever tribe the outsider lives, so you're living in this tribe, there you will give him, I guess that's me, I will give you an inheritance. It is a declaration of Adonai. Notice he doesn't say that he's going to give the inheritance. He says, you're going to give him their inheritance. So this place should be full of roots, of spiritual roots who want to join themselves to Israel. That's what grafting in is. Joining with the Messianic Jews, the Ruth calling, joining with the Jewish people, the Messianic Jews, being a part of the Messianic community and supporting us. You know, you can come alongside us and stay in your church and support us, work with us, help us, be a friend to us, like my friend Fred and Martha, or my friend Andy down in Texas, you know, who support us and help us continue to go and continue to operate. You can be a pastor who supports this ministry. You don't have to leave your church to be connected, to be a support, to put your shoulder to the plow. I'm not trying to steal people from churches. I'm only looking for the ones who are called to be Ruths. Okay? It's a Ruth calling. Not everyone who's called to be a Ruth, you may notice this by looking around, not everyone who's called to be a Ruth stays. Some of them are Orpahs, and they go back to Midian. They go back to Midian. They can't hack it. They don't have the faith to walk out the high calling of being a Messianic believer. And you who stick it out, overcome, will not only you'll get greater riches, you will live in the land of Israel and be given an inheritance, according to Ezekiel 47:21. If you overcome, if you stick it out to the end, the ones who run away, sorry, they lost their blessing. They can come back. I've never rejected anybody who comes back. If they come back and repent for either cussing me out, which they have, or leaving in a nasty way, or just leaving without even giving a reason, I always take them back. I've never rejected anybody who came back with a sincere heart and who said to me, Rabbi, I'd like to come back. I've never rejected them. But the Messianic Jew is created to be the kinsman redeemer of the nations, of the church, of the Gentiles, and to bring the inheritance. Now, what is the kinsman redeemer? I'm not going to go through the whole message, but the kinsman redeemer is when a person in ancient times, Anthony touched on it in Leviticus 25, but he didn't talk about it today, and it's in Leviticus 25, when a Jewish person sells their property and becomes poor, and they sell their land and they sell their property, or the husband dies and the wife has to sell off the farm, and she becomes poor, whatever, you know, she loses the farm, and the daughter loses her husband and has no provider. The next of kin in the family, a Jew who has some wealth or something, can buy back that property and give it to the woman and make her his wife, and have children with her, and give that property. It's a sacrifice, because he's got to give that property back to the woman and her child that he has with her, and it raises up a boy, and give back, restore the property, redeem her, and restore that name of the deceased, so that that name doesn't die, that it lives on. That's what the kinsman redeemer does. And so our job right here in Ezekiel 47:21 is to give an inheritance to the Ruths from among the Gentiles in the land of Israel. Now, as you notice, if you read Zechariah 14, not every Christian is going to go to Israel, because it says God that every Christian in that day, turn to Zechariah 14, hold your place in Acts 2 and turn to Zechariah 14. (Clears throat) verse 16. Okay, this is prophecy. It hasn't happened yet. Then all the survivors from all the nations that attacked Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, Adonai, Sivaoth, the Lord of hosts, Jesus, and to celebrate Sukkot. That's the Feast of Booths. Remember I mentioned three pilgrim feasts? Passover, Shavuot, which is coming up on May 28th, which is Pentecost, and Sukkot, which is the fall feast. The greatest of the fall feasts is Sukkot. And Adonai says, every nation will go up from year to year and worship the king and celebrate Sukkot. Furthermore, if any of the nations on earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Adonai Sivaot, they will have no rain. No rain. So everybody from the nations must come and celebrate Sukkot in Jerusalem. If the Egyptians do not go and celebrate, they will have no rain. Instead, there will be plague that Adonai will inflict on the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. And that day, holy to Adonai, will be inscribed on the bells of the horses. Well, this is a verse about climate change right here. If you don't obey God in this scripture, you'll get no rain. Where does climate change come from? Disobedience to God. Has nothing to do with anything man has done to the earth. Has nothing to do with carbon. It has nothing to do with cow farts. It has nothing to do with pollution. God is bigger than pollution, and climate change is purely a result of sin and disobedience to the God of heaven and earth. That's what it is. There's no such thing as climate change caused by man. There is climate change. God can stop the rain. There's Creedence Clearwater Revival used to sing a song, "Who'll stop the rain?" You know, God will stop the rain if you don't celebrate Sukkot in the millennium. And notice there will be people, believers, living among the nations. Why are they living among the nations? Because they did not graft in. They did not graft in to the Jewish people. See, grafting in isn't just about grafting into Yeshua. It's about grafting into the Jewish people. It's about being a Ruth. It's about joining with the Jewish people. Turn to Isaiah 56. Here we go. We're starting to get some meat here. Amen? Grafting in is about joining in with the Jewish people. In fact, well, I'll save that for my conclusion. Isaiah 56. This is about foreigners keeping Shabbat. Thus says Adonai, preserve justice, do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the Son of Man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning Shabbat, the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of a foreigner who has joined himself to Adonai. See, part of grafting in is joining yourself to Yeshua and bearing fruit. You can do that. You don't have to be grafted into the Jewish people. You don't have to go to a Messianic synagogue to be saved, okay? You don't have to be a Ruth. You can be a Christian and go to church. I suggest you don't bash the Jewish people if you don't want to be cut off from the olive tree. I really suggest that you treat the Jews nicely and bless them. But if you want to be a Christian and don't want to be a Ruth and get the blessings of greater riches, that's okay. You don't have to have greater riches for being part of the restoration of Israel, which Romans 11 tells us. You don't have to get the blessing of the Jews. It's not necessary. You can just be saved and go to heaven, and in the millennium live in the United States or whatever it is called in that day, or Ecuador, Mexico. Probably Central America would be a nice place to live since they're all moving up here. That's probably a good place to go. Go down to Central America. Like, everybody's coming up here from like Guatemala and Ecuador. So you might as well go down there and get some beachfront property, because there'll be nobody living there. So there'll be a lot of empty land And you can meet Juan Valdez. You know, when I was in Aruba, they had a coffee shop with Juan Valdez and his donkey, his burro, Juan Valdez. And I said to the Aruban person who was with me, I said, "That's Juan Valdez." And she said, "Yeah." I said, "I know Juan." Praise the Lord. Okay, Isaiah 56. "Do not let the son of a foreigner," verse 3, "who has joined himself to Adonai say, 'Adonai will surely exclude me from his people.'" See, that's the other part of grafting in. You graft into the Lord, but you also graft into his people. That's the Messianic Jews. "Or nor let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I'm a dry tree.' For thus says Adonai to the eunuchs who keep my Shabbats, my Sabbaths." Well, if you're going to keep the Sabbaths, it means you're going to go to the synagogue. Because if you read Leviticus 23, it says you celebrate the synagogue. You go; it's a sacred solemn assembly. Sabbath isn't sleeping in till 11 or 12. It's going to the synagogue. It's what it means. Gathering together at the synagogue and having a solemn assembly, a mikre kodesh. Leviticus 23 tells us to gather together on the Shabbat. And that's what you're supposed to do if you're going to be a grafted into the people of Israel. You got to keep Sabbath and come to the synagogue. So to the eunuchs, he's talking about the foreigners, verse 4, "who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, I will give them in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than sons of daughters." What's a name better than sons and daughters? Well, he's talking context, family. Well, what could be better than sons and daughters? How about bride? I think in that context, the name he's saying, "I'll give you a name better than sons and daughters." You know, Christians are all about the teaching in Romans 8 about sonship and being sons of God. We are children of God. That's great. I'd rather be the bride. How about you? Raise your hand if you want to be the bride. It's better than sons and daughters, isn't it? Hey, Josh, does being the bride, does mom get a better deal than you guys? She does, doesn't she? Amen? So it's better to be the bride, right? Amen? I mean, I love you guys, right? Do I take good care of you? Tell people, say, "Amen, Dad. I take good care of my boys, right? But I take better care of your mom, don't I?" Amen. And she takes care of me. But we love you. But still, it's better to be the bride. And that's what we want to be. We want to be the bride. Amen? Let's go on. Okay, so he's going to give a name better than sons and daughters. "I'll give you an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Also, the foreigners, the Gentiles, who joins themselves to Adonai," that's part of grafting in. You graft yourself into Jesus, "to minister to him and to love the name of Adonai and be his servants, all who keep from profaning the Shabbat," in other words, all who hang out with the Messianic Jews, "and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain." Remember Ezekiel 47:21. "I will bring them to Israel and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable." Well, how is that? We're going to find that out in a minute. How their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. We're going to find out how that can be so if you're a Gentile. How can your burnt offerings and sacrifices, why will there even be burnt offerings in the millennium? People ask me. I have an answer for that, but not going to give it today. For my house, you can read it in my message. You go to my website. The message is the Millennial Temple, Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Bride of Messiah. You can read that message on my website and my newsletters, and you'll learn about why the sacrificial system's coming back in the millennium. So that he'll accept their burnt offerings and their sacrifices. We're going to find out why. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Adonai Elohim, who gathers the dispersed of Israel, declares, "I will gather still others to him, to those already gathered." In other words, to the Jews, he says it in Romans, in John 10:14, he says, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and together I will bring them with you, and you will be one flock with one shepherd. So he's saying the same thing here. He's saying, I will gather still others to him, to those already gathered. All you beasts of the field, come and eat. All you beasts in the forest. Well, basically, I've said it. So he's saying to the Gentile, you're grafted in by hanging out with the Jews, by being joined to his people, Adonai will surely, do not let the eunuch say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, right? And to the Gentile who chooses what pleases me and keeps his Sabbaths, well, if you're going to keep his Sabbaths, you're going to come to a Messianic synagogue, right? But also, he says, the Gentile who has joined himself, do not let the son of a foreigner, verse 3, who has joined himself to Adonai, say, Adonai will surely exclude me from his people. So being grafted in means you're grafted into Jesus, but you're also grafted into the Jewish people. You've joined with them. You either support them in prayer, in service. You come. There's people who come and fold my newsletter month after month after month after month. They serve as volunteer with us, even though they go to church. They give, they support us, they give financially, they help us survive. They give thousands of dollars to this ministry to help us survive. You know, God's not going to turn them away. I accept them, you know, and I know that he does, because I'm not demanding, it would be inappropriate for me to demand people to come here and worship unless you're called to come here. But if I'm going to tell you something, if you're called to be a Ruth and you're not here and you're going to some church that God didn't call you to, then you don't have a covering. If you're called to be in this synagogue and you're disobeying God and you're in some church that you're not called to be there, then you have no covering, because I'm not covering you, which is what I'm supposed to do as a Jew, supposed to be your covering. If you're called to be in this synagogue, then I'm called to be your kinsman redeemer. Just your, if only those who are called, not everybody, just the ones who are called to me as a rabbi, okay? If you go to a church where God isn't calling you to go, they're not your covering either. And I asked somebody the other day who goes to a church and here, and I said, who's your covering? And the person said to me, well, you're my covering, and the pastor's my covering. And I said, I didn't want to get at that moment. I didn't feel it was right to get into a discussion. I just said, I would really pray about that, because you can't have two coverings. I'm sorry. A person who is double-minded is unstable in all their ways. Now, I've blessed Aja to go to churches because we don't have enough people to help her. I've given her, she's a member here, and I've given her my blessing to go to church. Specifically, she's, you know, because she needs the help. She needs the help of people in the church. That's so she goes to church on Sundays, because she needs the help. But you really need to choose, if you want to be the blessing of the Jews, if you're called to this, you need to be 100% in. You really do. Otherwise, you're not going to get the full blessing. You know, I can't cover, you can't have two coverings. You know, either you have a pastor or you have a rabbi. But you got to figure that out, you know. And I'm not pointing anybody out. You know, there's a lot of people that have played that game through the years. You know, I go to church on Sunday. I go here on Saturday. It works for a while. I did it for 6 months when I first got saved. But then God eventually brought me to Messianic. I was a pastor of a Sunday church for a while. I went to a Sunday church for a while. But I only went to one place at a time, except in the beginning. I went to a church and the Messianic. God has grace for 6 months. God has grace maybe up to a year. But, you know, after 5, 10, 15 years, you ought to know where you're called. You know, if you really, you ought to really know what you're called to be. And you know, unless you're going to a church to be a witness or something, I don't know. But as far as belonging and being a part of the group, being grafted in to Israel, if that's what your goal is and God's called you to be a Ruth, then you need to be 100% in. You understand that? It's not a part-time thing. If, you know, what's his name saying, part-time lover? Phil Collins. Part-time lover. You know, you can't be a part-time lover. God wants you full-time. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, you know, you got to make a decision. And some people can't make that decision because of soul ties. They have soul ties to other groups that you have to figure out, where is God really calling you to be? Praise the Lord. All right, so Isaiah 56. Now, I asked you the question. I said, what gives these Gentiles the right to bring sacrifice? Turn to Numbers 14. Numbers 15, I'm sorry. This is maybe repetitive for some, but it's important that you understand it. Everyone native born, Numbers 15, verse 13. Everyone native born is to do these things like so when bringing a fire offering is a pleasant aroma to Adonai. Whatever an outsider resides with you, whenever an outsider resides with you, or whoever is among you for your generations to come, and he is to present a fire offering as a fragrant aroma to Adonai, as you do, he must do exactly the same as you are doing. Okay? Listen to me. Whenever an outsider, a foreigner, a Gentile, resides with you, or whoever is among you for your generations to come, and he is to present a fire offering. Remember, I asked you in Isaiah 56, by what right does a Gentile have to bring an offering at the temple by fire? It says he is to present a fire offering as a fragrant aroma to Adonai as you do. He must do exactly the same as you are doing. The community will have the same rule for you as well as for the resident outsider. In other words, the Gentile who dwells among you, verse 15, are you reading this? It will be a lasting statute throughout your generations. As for you, so for the outsider will it be before Adonai. The same Torah and the same regulations will apply to both you and the outsider residing among you. So that's the law of the sojourner. You understand? That's the law of the sojourner. That if you dwell with the Jewish people in community, that's why we have the Messianic community. Okay? That's why I'm here. See, I didn't know when God called me here. Why was he calling me here? I said, God, there's a church in every corner. What do you need me for? He said, son, you ain't been down this road before. That's what he said to me. You've never been down this road before. I'm here for these people to graft in, for the sojourner. Read, folks at home, read Numbers 15, verse 14 to 15. He says, whenever an outsider, verse 14, resides with you, or whoever is among you for your generations, in other words, who lives with you in community, to come, and he is to present a fire offering as a fragrant aroma to Adonai, as you do, he must do exactly the same as you are doing. The community will have the same rule for you as well as for the resident outsider. It will be a lasting statute throughout your generations. As for you, so for the outsider will it be before Adonai. The same Torah and the same regulations will apply to both you and to the outsider, the foreigner residing among you. In other words, God's saying to the Gentile who dwells with the Jewish people, especially the Messianic Jews in this age and the millennium, those are the ones who are going to get an inheritance in the land. Those are the ones who are going to get a name better than sons and daughters. Isaiah 56. The ones who keep Sabbaths. And I got news for you about grafted in. What were those Gentiles doing there at Pentecost? What were all those Pergians, Pamphylians? Go back to Acts for a moment, where we started. I'll be quick. I'm almost done, I promise. Acts chapter 2. They returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Excuse me. Which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. When they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and Jacob and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and so on and so forth. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers and sisters. And let's keep going down. It says, do 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 do. We've been accompanying us. Get me to Acts chapter 2. Okay. When the day of Shavuot, or Pentecost, had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house and they were sitting, and tongues like fire spreading out appeared for them and settled on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. Now Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation. This is the point I want to make right here. Now Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound came, the crowd gathered. They were bewildered because each was hearing them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, all these who are speaking, aren't they Galileans? And Galileans were considered idiots, country bumpkins. How is it that we each hear our own birth language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those living in Mesopotamia, Judea. Mesopotamia was like Babylonia. Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya and Africa towards Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jewish people and proselytes. Those are Gentiles. Cretans, people from Crete, and Arabs, also Gentiles. We hear them declaring in our own tongues, our own languages, the mighty deeds of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? Well, then Peter preached to them and 3,000 got saved. Okay? I'm not going to go read it because we don't, for time. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to say, why were the Gentiles there? Why were they there? They were sojourners. They were obviously learned because they'd been going to synagogue in their hometown, and they came from Pergia, Pamphylia, Crete, Cyrene, Libya, Asia, Rome, Jews and proselytes. Proselytes mean converts, you know. These were Gentiles who were converting to the God of Israel, and they were dwelling with the Jews, and they ended 3,000 got saved that day. Amen? Glory! It was the first great revival of the Bible, and Peter preached it. 3,000 were added in one day. The first great revival of the Bible. Hallelujah! Whoop glory, as Sam Smith would say. That was the beginning of a great harvest. And those folks went out back to their countries and they shared the gospel with their friends and their neighbors and they told the story of what happened and they laid the ground for Paul and Silas and Timothy and Barnabas to go out and disciple them. Paul, the genius, the educated one, to go out and instruct them in the ways of Yeshua and teach them Torah, teach them how to live, and teach them not to worship gods, false gods. And he set up messianic synagogues. They kept the Passover. If you listen to my message on my messages, I'm not going to go back to them. If you listen to my messages on the Kinsman Redeemer, you'll see that they kept the Passover. And many of their disciples and many Christians who were Gentiles, churches, they didn't call them church, they're assemblies. They kept the Passover, and they were all excommunicated by Pope Victor and by Constantine. And I read it, and tell you that I read the actual letter of Constantine, the Emperor of Rome, at the Council of Nicaea in 325. I read it in my last two messages. You can hear it. You just have to go on the website. It's right there. And if you're watching online, if you're blessed by this message and you've learning, please hit donate and support this ministry. I give freely, we give, but we can only survive, exist by your support. So please send a love offering to our ministry. If you're blessed by this work and you watch us, I'm happy to have you watch freely, but if you can support us, that's one way you'll be grafted in. By supporting your local Messianic synagogue. Praise the Lord. God bless you as you give. All right, friends on Facebook. So sojourner, you join yourself, you're grafting into the Jewish people. So grafting in conclusion here, Grafting in to the God of Israel through Yeshua. You know the Father. We come to the Father through the Son, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son, right? So we have to come to Yeshua in order to get to the Father. But then we also graft into the Jewish people as sojourners, which I've shown you in Numbers 15, verse 14, 15. Also in Ezekiel 47, 21. And then Isaiah 14 talks about a day. Isaiah 14 talks about a day when I'll just read it to you quickly. And then I conclude. I'm really almost done. For Adonai will have compassion on Jacob when the times of the Gentiles end. See, Luke 21, Jesus said, he said, the times of the Gentiles will end. When Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. He says the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. It will come to an end. That means the church age is going to come to an end. And then he says in verse 4, in Isaiah 14, the prophet writes, for Adonai will have compassion on Jacob and will again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, which has been happening for over 100 years. The outsider will join himself. There we go. The Gentile will join himself with them. See, that's grafting in to the Jewish people, and will cling to the house of Jacob. That's us. The peoples will take them and escort them to their place. In other words, the nations will help us go back to Israel. That's what he's saying. The Gentiles will help the Jews go back to Israel. And they'll come with us, especially the ones who dwell with us, because they're going to get an inheritance in the land. Ezekiel 47, 21. All right, let's conclude. Praise the Lord. I had one more verse for you. I can't remember what it is, but Lord help me. I had one more point to make. So what were those Gentiles doing there? They were grafting. They were sojourners. They weren't for Jesus, or Peter wouldn't have had to preach to them, telling them who Jesus is. They were to celebrate ancient feasts of Moses from Leviticus 23. Oh, this is what I wanted to share with you. Everybody's going to be a Ruth eventually, but they're not going to get the blessing. See, they're going to be stuck in the nations. Read, turns to Isaiah 66, and this will be our conclusion, okay? This is the conclusion. Isaiah 66. Here's the answer to the question, is everybody a Ruth? Well, Isaiah 66, verse 23, and it will come to pass that from one new moon, the biblical month, the Jewish month begins on the new moon, friends, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, and by the way, the holy days like Sukkot, Passover, and Shavuot are Sabbaths, okay? They're called high Sabbaths. They don't fall necessarily on Friday and Saturday. They can fall on a Tuesday. But they're still Sabbaths, days of rest. Okay? Sukkot is a Sabbath. The first day of Sukkot and the last day is a Sabbath. The first day, Yom Kippur, is a Sabbath, the Day of Atonement. Passover, the first night of Passover, is a Sabbath. It's a high Sabbath. So it can happen on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. It's still a Sabbath. It's a high Sabbath. That's why the church picked Good Friday, because they didn't understand high Sabbaths. They thought it had to start Good Friday since it was a Sabbath. First night of Passover was a Sabbath, and Yeshua was crucified on Passover. The Catholics thought, well, it had to be a Friday night. You see, that's where they get Good Friday. But then the Bible says he was in the ground 3 days and three nights. There's no way. On Good Friday, you can't put him in the ground Friday. Saturday, he's in the ground 2 days, and then he rises after sunset. On Sunday, he's not in the ground for 3 days and three nights. The most he could be in the ground 3 days, but Friday day, Saturday day, Sunday morning, but he's only in the ground Friday night, Saturday night, but not Sunday night. You see, he's already out of the ground. So you can't get it. It has to be Thursday. Passover had to be on Thursday. He had to be buried on Thursday for him to be in the ground 3 days and three nights. But they didn't know that there was a high Sabbath. So let's finish with these words. So verse 23, Isaiah 66. It will come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh will come. Remember Zechariah 14, everybody comes to Jerusalem, celebrates the Feast of Sukkot. All flesh will come to bow down before me, says Adonai. This is in the millennium. Unfortunately, those people are going to live in the nations. Everybody's going to celebrate his feasts. Everybody's going to be messianic. The whole world is going to be messianic in the millennium. All the believers are going to be messianic believers. Here's the problem. They're not going to get the blessing of that those who sojourned, of the sojourner, of those who dwell with us. They're not going to get the blessing of being grafted in, of Isaiah 56. Read it. Because they didn't dwell with us. They weren't part of the community. They're not going to get the blessing of Ezekiel 47:21, an inheritance in the land of Israel, and a name better than sons and daughters, because they didn't dwell with us. They chose not to. They made a conscious choice. I'm going to be an Orpah. I'm not going to be a Ruth. I'm not going to go to Israel. I'm going to stay outside among the nations. Now, when I say Orpah, you're not going to worship a foreign god, but you're going to go stay in your nation. You're going to choose France over Israel. You're going to choose America or whatever this country is, because I'm not sure it's going to be here. It's not mentioned in the Bible. it is mentioned in certain ways, but I won't get into that. The way it's mentioned, the eagle isn't good. It's plucked out of the beast. So the eagle is plucked. It doesn't look good, since the eagle represents the United States. In Daniel 7, the eagle's plucked in verse 4. And when you look at the beast in Revelation 13, there's no eagle. So we're not there to help Israel. Okay? So that's it. Everybody's going to eventually be... be messianic, but not everybody's going to get the blessing of the sojourner. Which would you rather have? You're going to, one way or another, as Blondie saying, one way or another, I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you one day, maybe next week. I'm going to get you. I'll get you. God's going to get you. Amen. He's going to get you. You're going to be messianic sooner or later. But if you want the blessing, you got to do it in this life, in this age. You've got to sojourn with the Jews in this age. That's why messianic congregations exist. Capiche? All right. Please rise. I want to bless you. So if you're called to be a Ruth and you want to join, come. Sojourn with us. We invite you. And if you've left us, come back. I'll take you back. Just talk to me. Come let us reason together, brother, sister. You know, if you want the blessing, come. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to be your kinsman redeemer. I'm here to restore all the things that you lost by losing your Jewish roots. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here to be your kinsman redeemer. And bring you back in like Joseph was Yeshua's kinsman redeemer, you know, and give you the blessings of Israel. That's what we're here to do. That's why I was anointed with oil by 15 rabbis. Okay? Come get the blessing. I want to give it to you. I want to bless you. Come join us. I don't bite. I just nibble. All right. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecho Ya'er Adonai panavelecho v'chunecho Isadonai Panav Elecha Vayasem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Almighty God bless you and keep you and be gracious unto you. In Yeshua's name, may He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Kavod. Shabbat shalom. Eric, can you hit the buttons on these babies? Shabbat shalom, friends on Facebook. We love you. Come and join us, friends. Come be a part. You don't have to leave your church.